Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hey, it's Liz. Before we start this episode, I want to let you know that this particular episode is extended. After we ended the regular interview, we continued talking with Tiffany Barsotti and Paul Mills, and the conversation went a little sideways. You'll want to listen to the very end because Bill shares a story about actually meeting the Grim Reaper. No joke. So stay with us all the way through this interview. I promise it'll be worth the time. Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
And we're the host of the New Life Perspectives Radio Show. And we just happen to be the pair that created the Cogno Movement System. We are back today with two of our very good friends. We're so happy to have Tiffany Barsotti and Dr. Paul J. Mills here with us to talk about something that I think Tiffany hinted about the last time we had her on. And it's about personal self-integration. That's a really, really interesting topic about the need to integrate what happens after a transformation. We all want our lives to be different, but then our lives have to actually be different, which is a challenge that we don't think about. So Tiffany and Paul have come up with a way to help a person make this transition in their whole life. So off camera, Tiffany was talking to us about how we all have multiple personalities who actually have an opinion about these integrations. Bill, will you welcome our friends?
Oh my God. Welcome, Paul and Tiffany. You know, I so wish I had met you decades sooner because, you know, the process when I went through this, you know, my own awakening was just ridiculous. And I didn't know, I wasn't interested in any sort of growth. I was like, hey, I'm fine. I am fine. Just, I want to be on my boat and have my cocktails. I'm good, you know, but, you know, I guess the divine plan had a different idea. And I didn't know what to do, you know, with what had happened. And I was like, you're basically lost and you're having experiences, but trying to integrate the experience into a real life with, you know, I guess you don't want your life to collapse, but it does. But how to deal with it all and to kind of peacefully transition, if you will. So I'm going to turn it over to you two. And what is this? Tell us what you're doing. It's really important work.
Thank you for that, Bill and Liz. It's lovely to be with you both again. It is important work, and thank you for speaking to it from your own personal experience as well, Bill. It is something that is really up right now as a bigger topic within humanity. A lot of us are transforming, but transforming into what? And are we sabotaging our going forward? Are we able to integrate the experiences that we just happened, or when we come back into our environments that we're already familiar with, are they in an argument with what we now know or what we now experience? And this is especially so when we've held on to series of beliefs or believing that our soul's path is one thing. And then as we mature and we have experiences, we realize, oh, wow, I was meant to go left when I took a right, or I meant to go right when I took a left. Whatever it is for us, and I could speak to this personally as far as, you know, really, I have that reluctant healer journey. I didn't want the job as a medical intuitive and spiritual counselor. I had all the clairs growing up and it was clair overwhelming. I didn't want that that much information and did everything in my power to shut it down. But in that, I created a lot of issues for myself. And it wasn't until I started getting more into, besides the transformation and the going to graduate seminary and the awakenings and all of these kinds of things that I was also having, it wasn't until I started learning some of the work of Sri Aurobindo, Master Yeshua's teachings, the Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. Huna tradition talks about, you know, the Ho'oponopono and really needing these parts in myself that needed a transformation. So that integration work that ultimately I was seeking, I didn't know it until it all started coming, kind of crashing down. And then I had to unpack it. And so what Paul and I teach now is hopefully making it easier for people to be able to do this integration work and not having to do the crash course. So,
you know, I've had this experience myself as well, not just with one big transformation, but every time where I've come to understand, and I wonder if you think this is as true as well, that you can't even imagine who you'll be after transformation, what you imagine you'll be. And then you get there and the world is actually a brand new place. You just can't even begin to know because you're a different person after the transformation. Do you find that to be true as well?
Absolutely. The intention of a transformation is to bring change. So are we actually allowing it or are we fighting it? And, you know, you mentioned the multiple personalities piece. And yeah, I say that we are much more of a collective than we totally realize. We've got many more voices on board than just the inner critic. We've got many more voices than just our mom and dad or whoever our caregivers were or wherever the voices are coming from. There's actually an art and science to being able to tap into what elements that these are in order to help us be more whole in our life and be a whole person. And what do they want? Because they will argue with us. If we're about to go through a transformation and there are any fears or resistances that haven't been dealt with in the shadow aspects, then they will come up in a major way. So this is the whole effort of what Paul and I teach together, like I said, is to make it easier so that it doesn't have to, like these experiences that you both are talking about and that I'm talking about and that Paul's also gone through.
And I want to add that, and Liz, listening to you and Bill, you just made some comments about your own transformations. As you were saying that, what came to my mind is essentially the spiritual journey is a journey of identity. It's a journey of leaving an old identity and moving into a new one. And then you leave that one and you move into a new one. It's an ever expanding reevaluation and stepping into a new. And I agree with that, what you said, Liz, that generally we can have some preparedness for what is to come because we've read philosophy books, or we've had some windows into a meditation experience. But ultimately, when that transition occurs, it doesn't match exactly what we thought because the mind can't really comprehend certain levels of consciousness and what consciousness itself is capable of providing us as our identity. And personal self-integration, yeah, it's a system of teaching and understanding to help us with these transitions. And much of the wisdom, Tiff was just mentioning some of the Eastern traditions and Western traditions where this comes from. And one of my perspectives is that we did receive a lot of wisdom from the Eastern traditions, you know, meditative techniques, yoga, the herbal systems, the beauty of whole person medicine. But there were aspects of those Eastern traditions that didn't quite make it to us. And that's the wisdom from these traditions regarding the nature of what we commonly call in the West, the subconscious minds, or some people call it the unconscious. Of course, it's not unconscious. It's just below our typical conscious mind. And personal self-integration teaches us really about the landscape, Well, what is our unconscious really about? What is in that subconscious realm? Who's populating it? What's the terrain? What does that terrain have to do with us as the person living in this three-dimensional world day to day? And as you begin to learn this information, and there's a lot of wisdom in it, then we have tools to manage things like transformation. And not only that, but to manage day-to-day life, because things happen every day, some not as great as these spiritual awakenings, but we need to cope in a real way every day. And that's what PSI also helps give us tools for.
You know, it makes me think about climbers, people who are preparing for Mount Everest. You're thinking, I want to climb Mount Everest. Of course you think you're going to buy your gear and you're going to climb to the top. But that's not the way it works. You've got to get your body ready. You've got to make your plans. But the thing that you're talking about, it makes me think about base camp. You have to get to a place, several places, the way I understand it, to acclimate to the air there. And I think that's really true with transformation as well. Many, many times myself and our students have realized when they transform, they don't even recognize the world they're in next. Right? They're like, oh my God, this is what the world's about? I had no idea. And then they're different, their world's different. And then people in their lives are looking at them different. So there's this need to acclimate before the next big step. So do you guys find that that's true as well? There's many, many levels of integration.
I mean, I'll jump in first and then Tiff, please add, but absolutely. As I think I was trying to get to a moment ago, the human spiritual development journey, for all practical purposes, is never ending, meaning we are on a journey to expand our experience of consciousness, of awareness itself. We're going to be moving from affiliating ourselves primarily with what we think is the human being nature of just the mind and body to more and more expansion of consciousness to the cosmos itself, quite literally. And that all happens in steps. Some of the steps are, yes, much greater than others, and they're hard to acclimate to for some at some times. But this is a journey we're on, and we just need the tools to take these steps, get to base camp, and then get to the next level, and on and on. And it's not a tough journey in a sense. Once we have the tools, it's a journey really of joy and discovering our real identity within and expanding our understanding of who we are and what we are and the diversity really of what we are beyond what we're typically socialized to believe.
Totally agree. To add to that, it's a nice metaphor you bring, Liz, about the mountain and climbing mountains. And I like to say that the masters over time have left us little breadcrumbs, little morsels of what to pick up at each turn. We're doing these massive switchbacks that seem never ending. The healing journey is anything but straight. And it's not sometimes even feeling like it's going up and towards your goal. Sometimes it's feeling like it's going backwards and like, you know, the whole literally feeling like you're going backwards sometimes. So this, but that retrospection, if we take a pause and we are enabling ourselves on that climbing journey to recognize both the stillness and the opportunity for movement, it really is this and both, and to pick up these morsels that have been left for us on the path because they're there. And we'll end up well-fed if we pick them up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've come up against our first break. And when we come back, I wonder if we can go backwards just a little bit. For those of our audience listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, what does transformation mean? What does that look like? What kinds of things change in a person's life after they've had one of these quote-unquote transformations? So let's hear from our sponsors at the UK Health Radio Network. UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back with Tiffany Barsotti and Dr. Paul J. Mills. We're talking about personal self-integration, but I had posed the question before the break, what the heck are we talking about, you guys? Bill included, will you jump in on this one?
Yeah, I think the question, like, you know, personal transformation, and there's, I guess, the way I think of it, you know, it can be something as major, the catalyst for it could be a real life near death experience. It could be some sort of peak spiritual experience, like that you visited by something divine. It could be many. It could be, let's say, a catalyst of ayahuasca or some other psychedelic. But these are the type of things that we're talking about, but it doesn't have to be these, like, oh my God, wow. It could just be the mundane. Like mine was simple forgiveness. That's all it was. You know, talk about stupid simple, you know, that was it. That was all it took, you know, but it was quite intense. But my point is that the Liz's question is, what is that? What happens after? What are people experiencing?
Can we break it down too, Bill? I mean, I don't know if this fits or not, but people who are not, don't believe they're on the spiritual quest, but will have these big life changes, like a birth of a baby, a death of a significant person in your life, getting married. Things that actually do transform your life and who you believe you are. Do you think that fits into this conversation as well?
I very much believe that. Yeah. What we call the spiritual journey is really the human journey. And it's the journey of each of us experiencing new perspectives on what it is to be a human being, the depth of experiences, whether it's an NDE that you described, Bill, or psychoactive compounds, or looking at a beautiful sunset or a sunrise or falling in love, the richness of being a human being. And to try to bring it into, say, more practical level with what these kinds of transitions are and what does transformation mean. All of us, whether we think we're on a spiritual path or not, we've all had the experience of going, say, from childhood to adolescence. That's a transition. That's a transformation. Then to being a young adult, an older adult. We were faced with changing our experience of who and what we thought we were. And all the while, generally, the world expands as we're moving from childhood to adulthood. And then, as you know, in most adulthoods, then we have these ideas, well, what's further development? And most traditions, religious and meditative traditions, then begin to speak about kind of what's beyond the veil of the third dimension. And that's where you're headed now. And you need tools to get there, because everything else has been kind of automatic biologically going through these stages of development. But sometimes it's harder. Some people have trouble leaving childhood. I know I did. I love the garden of childhood and the beauty of just walking around the nature. And then we get kicked out by our developing bodies and we're on to the next phase. But we just need to know how to do it. And we need the guidance. I think that's what PSI helps us about. Tiff, do you want to provide a little more details about selves and so forth?
Yeah, I do. And thank you for that, because it reminds me that we, on this journey for personal self-integration, and just to ground this a little bit more, we are meeting the inner child as one of the inner selves and how important that is. And this is not just your regular inner child work. There's some other kind of depths to it, which is quite kind of amazing. But another element that I want to bring in here about transformation that is really important, in speaking with a client, I just want to ground this a little bit, because the transformation can happen in just a moment, a flash, an epiphany, an aha, where we just put something together that we hadn't even 2 minutes earlier that can totally change the trajectory of our thinking and the direction of our lives. And I literally just got off of a consultation with someone who is interested in PSI. And PSI stands for personal self-integration, by the way. The thing is, this person was watching something on trauma, had not ever really put together like, oh, okay, yes, there was childhood trauma. They're just now realizing that one of their parents was a narcissist and what that means to them and how essentially that kind of left them in a victim mentality. And what then needs to happen as a realm of, in the realm of transformation to get that person in their own lives, in their own agency, their own sovereignty, and enacting their soul's path and journey. What is that? And so there was a phrase that was mentioned in this little movie vignette that she was watching about trauma. And the person who was leading it said, the difference between child and adult trauma, or one that is processing it, is the child can't pick up the phone and ask for help. The adult can actually start to do something about it. So the agency in what choices we make and how we put ourselves into not just the realms of transformation, but all of what life is included for our soul's journey. Did you want to add something to that, Liz? And then I can go into self.
Yeah, it really makes me think about the practical side of this. When I was quite a bit younger, I had, for me, it was a great privilege. For some people, it may have blown up their entire life. I had to change my complete paradigm about my religious upbringing. And it literally happened in a vision overnight. Collapsed a whole system of belief, but left me with nothing. And I had to rebuild. So in that moment, I could have, started yelling from the mountaintops what I knew now to be true about this old paradigm, which would have made everybody in my life miserable and wouldn't have made a really good impression. Luckily, I had guidance not to do that and to rebuild myself first. But it makes me think what you're saying, Tiffany, is about the practical side. You have a paradigm shift. You realize all of a sudden, maybe a parent molested you or they were a narcissist. Practically, do you go out screaming that from the mountaintops? Or does the work you're talking about help a person build a framework for how to live in the new paradigm? Because one can equal, a nuclear explosion in your life, and the other can equal a transition that's much easier. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. And it's so important. And in fact, I was actually going to use an example of a religious sort of all, it's like the earth-shattering awareness, like, wow, everything that I was taught or was in our household belief system is no longer true for me. And now I'm looking at, well, what is true? And you said you were left with nothing. And really, the nothing in that case is everything. Because now the whole world is opened up for you to have your own discovery. And, I jokingly say that my master's is in theology, but I jokingly say that I'm a theologian with no dogma, because I'm encouraging, and both Paul and I are both encouraging, for people to find their own relationship with the divine. It's not about going through a guide or a guru, I'm not taking anything away from those, but I believe that we're in the era of our personal self-discovery, and more emphasis is actually put on us in taking the dominion of, well, what am I going to do with this information now? Am I going to collapse and fail? No, quite the opposite. What is it going to take me to thrive and really get on my path? Because clearly I'm here for a reason. And the world does not need to fall apart because the very tapestry in which I was taught something is now either become falsified for a whole other myriad of reasons, or I just realize, wow, I have no resonance with any of that information anymore. So what's true for me?
Yeah, and it's about the practical stuff. It's not just the divine, you know, religious belief or dogma. In so many of our cases, so many of us who came from religions that were quite restrictive, things like, how old is the planet? Were there dinosaurs? Is there a possibility of life outside the universe? You know what I mean? Like, this really practical stuff that you have to now begin to rebuild through a whole new paradigm, and it can be tricky. Go ahead, Paul. I can see he's ready to jump in.
Well, yes, Liz, I want to ask you a question. So you were left sort of in this void of nothing. Would you share with us, how did you make it? What kind of tools did you rely on? Where did you get the knowledge and the wisdom to take those steps and to rebuild a functional life with a new paradigm, or just no paradigm, whatever you settled on you needing?
Thanks for asking that question. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me it before, but what I did was I decided that I would accept nothing as true or not true, real or not real. I would never, ever accept anything again as here's how it is. But I would ask the question, you know, out loud to no one in particular, myself, and I would wait for the next answer. And so sometimes it would be a book, and I would read the book, not deciding if this is my new religion, absolutely not. But is there something in there that helps me, that serves me in a way that I can understand what I'm working on next? I think the gift that I got in that moment was that it would be tiny steps of revealing the next truth and the next truth. If I looked at my life today, if I knew it was going to come here, I would have never believed it. I had to go through the process of learning and unlearning, trying it on like an ugly sweater and taking it off. In spiritual journeys, we all go through a lot of things, you know, past lives and different things like that. And we can get stuck in those. We can put them on and make them our current wardrobe for the rest of our lives. I decided not to do that. I tried it on, see if it fit, see what I could get out of it, see what I could learn, but never keeping it for good. And so that's how I navigated and traversed that time in my life. And I still use it.
Thank you. Several words came to my mind. One was you living with such an open mind, not having attachment to what might be real or not, and just the courage that took. And I just salute you for that. That's not an easy journey. Most of us want to hold on to something we feel is real, whether it's our own sense of self or just anything else out in our environment, family, friends, work, whatever, some kind of identity. And that's beautiful. Yeah, letting it all go. So you found yourself ultimately where you wanted to be, and you continue this journey. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, daily. You know, being open, I get really interested and inspired by things. You know, there was a guy talking about a certain kind of alien a while back, and man, it made my mind so fascinated. But fascinated is the word. There's no buy-in, there's no belief, but I like the idea. And it allowed me to explore some things, think about some things, and expand my consciousness. If you ask me today, do I think that particular person is talking about something real? Maybe, but it's kind of none of my business. My business is, does it help me expand and continue to teach and flow? So that's my personal philosophy. Probably not easy for other people, because like you say, people like to grasp onto something real. For me, nothing's real or not real, true or not true. It's just what's happening right now.
I mean, Tiff, and on to you next, but I just want to say that is such wisdom. And that's the fundamental philosophy of so many of the great meditative journeys, just having neutrality around experience. It's like a childlike openness of the mind. And then the joys come in day-to-day, moment-to-moment experience. And I just want to add that, what's the opposite of that? What kind of state of mind do people grab onto that's the opposite of that? I call that fundamentalism, mm-hmm. of any form, whether it's religious or economic or whatever, where we've we've grabbed onto a belief and bam, we're going to hold onto the tight till the end of our life. And what a closeness of all the other beautiful possibilities we would have. Tiffany, you wanted to add something.
It's so true. Well, I didn't even realize I was unmuted. I apologize. Liz, I just want to commend you for that journey, because there's many times where we could come to face to face in so many ways. And it's actually this beautiful journey you took in building your own trust and faith, and not trust and faith in something else, just because, and really looking at it and having that openness, as Paul said. So it's very beautiful. Bill.
That is so great. You know, Paul, I love the way that, you know, you put it, is that fundamentalism is being stuck. And that's where most of the world is. You know, Elon Musk, it was a few weeks ago, there was an interview and somebody asked Elon, you know, are you working on anything around living forever? You know, extending our lives. Yeah, because he's working on everything, right? So anyway, he says, no, I don't think that's a very good idea. And the, you know, interviewers have been shocked. Why? And he says, because people don't change their minds. They will die before they change their mind. You know, science, right? They say science evolves one death at a time, right? So what Liz has, you know, come to is really, right, like Paul says, a significant, you know, underpinnings of the great masters. So anyway, we've got to bring it back down to earth for a second, because UK Health Radio, we've got some sponsors we've got to hear from. UK Health Radio, take it away, and we'll be right back with this exciting interview.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. And every week on this show, we do give something to the audience that you guys can use right now. So speaking of bring it back down to earth, Tiffany and Paul, do you have something that our listeners could use right now? If they're in the process of trying to integrate a change in their life, I mean, it could be something like a major breakthrough, a major epiphany, but what if it's something else? What if their life has taken a left turn into somewhere else? How can they really start to integrate? How can they have this personal self-integration?
That's a big question to answer in just a few minutes. One of the big things that I want to say in preparation to, I don't know if it's big or not, doesn't matter. Sometimes Carolyn Mace's voice comes in my head, who is one of my teachers, and says, big, huge. This is big, huge. So that her voice just came into my mind. This is big, huge. About becoming more integrated within ourselves and just being with where we are on the path. And there are many details on our website on Heal and Thrive about the selves and unpacking who the subconscious selves are, who we meet in the process and all of that. So it's a little bit too much of a meaty kind of thing to go through all of meeting the selves in this opportunity that we have right now. But that information is there for people who are interested. What I would like to direct our attention to is coming into our own personal sovereignty. And when we commit, and I will like to attune with wherever somebody is, if they are feeling in resonance with this, about tuning into our own unique soul's light. Every one of us has our own unique frequency. And at our asking, we can attune. We can create that vertical relationship where we ask for that to be anchored into our hearts. And so that's the point of this. I just wanted to set up this meditation a little bit, because it actually also helps us to make the commitment to our soul's journey. This life isn't always easy. And to choose it means that we are turning on the essence. It's saying, yes, I am ready. Yes, I am willing. And I don't always know where I'm going. There's sometimes it feels like I know I'm in the middle of the terrain and I don't have a map nor a compass. And that's where self-trust comes in. And so I just want to attune us to that vertical relationship. So with that said, allowing us to come into this very moment, to drop into our own physical space. We have our physical body, and we have our whole biofield. This is our physical space, the space that we take up. Just allow what to come to mind is a grounding. I like to set my roots coming from the waist, because my feet just don't feel like they get me deep enough. I want the depths to feel that Mother Earth, that grounded connection. So feel as though we have this deep root system that has the ability to compost things, to take things away from us that have been maybe recycling in our minds, in our bodies, any pains or hurts, things left incomplete. Our Mother Nature, our beloved Mother Earth, Goddess, has the ability to compost these things. We don't do that so well. So just choose to let go of the things that you've not been able to change so far. And we ask to be attuned to our high self's perspective, each one unique unto itself. We ask that the container that is here with each of us now, no matter what you're doing, where you are, and who is listening, we have a sacred container, and we can consider that our bodies, our own biofields, and we can ground them, anchoring them in. The truth is, we must go down before we go up. These roots also have the ability to give us respiration, to give us the very things that we need when we are grounded. So we ask right now in this moment to be settled into our bodies, to be grounded in this moment, in this present time. As we reach up with our consciousness to the soul level, for those that are familiar with the term, it's the monad. And it's the soul's attunement. Each one of us has a unique blueprint. And just allowing this to exist, this concept to exist, you don't necessarily have to do anything with it. You can just be observing in this moment. Where there is resonance, follow it. And become aware of your heart, front and back. And it's like there's a code, if you will, a frequency, a light. Maybe there's an angelic being there. Whatever may be there at the heart level, allow it to connect with both the root system and the system at the crown and going up, 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 and above with high self's permission, We attune ourselves. We ask for this attunement. And what we give in exchange is our commitment to our soul's path. So as you are ready, as you are so inclined, say that to yourself. I am making the commitment to myself, my soul's path, my own agency, my own sovereignty. Consent for yourself and the divine connection that seeks you as much as you may seek it. And with a gentle ping from your heart center to the soul, give thanks and appreciation. And imagine that light cascading, coming down into your system in this vertical arrangement and lighting up your heart center and all of the chakra centers, known and unknown, as it is divinely so and divinely guided. With a breath here, ground into your roots and allowing ourselves to come into this new present moment with a newfound confidence, with a newfound arrangement and attunement, increasing our confidence, our worthiness, and our commitment on our soul's path. So be it. Oh, and allow your eyes to open with a greater and more profound confidence than we had even a few minutes ago. Thank you.
That was really beautiful, Tiffany. Thank you so much. For our listeners, you know, you can always download the episode, re-listen, and do this again so that you can really get it even more deeply. I'd recommend maybe doing it at home when you're not driving. That would be great. But tell us where people can find you guys and actually become a part of the work you're doing in personal self-integration and how they can work with you.
So our website is healandthrive.com. And on the website, you'll find some information about the personal self-integration course, which we've been speaking a little bit about. And that'll have everything anyone wants to know about it initially. There's a couple of videos, there's some text. And if anyone's potentially interested in the course, there's a spot where they could just schedule some time with myself and Tiffany to answer questions and so forth. I want to add that, Tiffany, I thought that was a beautiful meditation, as Liz said. And one of the things I appreciated about it, Liz, is it really resonated with the path and the method you said you took, which had to do with having awareness and resonance in the moment with whatever was coming your way, as far as new information and being open to it. And I know historically on my path, we all have intuition. I would tend to ignore that. It would pop into my mind and I would just ignore it and move on to the next. So part of the spiritual path is learning to listen, as you said, Liz, and I really appreciated that moment to moment, day to day. And I would add that the personal self-integration just gives us more of inner tools to be able to do that in a, let's say, consistent way and with all of our consciousness in agreement to be doing that and taking new directions.
Well, it's absolutely amazing to have some support through that process and to have the support of two masters like you and Tiffany. So everyone, that's at healandthrive.com. And if you do /personal-self-integration, you can find out more about this program and how to do it for yourself. And we're completely out of time, Bill McKenna. Will you help us say goodbye to our guests?
Oh my God. You know what? I just so enjoyed that meditation. You got it back. I'm going to go back and listen again. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Tiffany. Awesome having you on. Can't wait to have you on again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Liz.
Absolutely.
Thank you to everyone out there who is in the midst of a transformation. Don't let it stop there. Let it be integrated.
You know what, Tiffany? That is so good. And I would just add to that, if you don't think you're in the middle of a transformation, look again, you probably are. There's probably not a person on the planet who couldn't use some integration in their life where it is right now. All right, UK Health Radio Land, please be safe and be well until we see you again next week.
My question is around, we have a certain agenda when we come to the planet Earth, right? I want to learn about forgiveness. I want to learn about fill in the blank, right? Okay. Well, you got your three goals, right? We're going to get through three things in this lifetime. When we get done with those, do people like typically kick the bucket? Or like, hey, I finished, you know what? I got all my work done early. I can go home now. You know, is that a thing? Or what, tell me, do you see people like getting like a reboot and saying, okay, well, here's your next three, you know, you're in overtime now. Tell me what you think about that.
I love it. Paul, did you want to go first?
I love that. So a couple things come to mind. I don't think it's time to exit the planet. Right. It reminds me of some things I had heard the Maharishi say years ago. And this had to do with this movement towards what's often called enlightenment. And basically, prior to enlightenment, all of us are living in the world in this cycle of so-called karma, where we're here to learn things. And what's driving the learning is, say, unfinished learned lessons from a prior time. And our lives are a combination of these karmas influencing us day to day, how we see and think and do things. And there's also freedom within that as we're searching for spiritual freedom and awakening. And he put it a nice way. So we have this thing called the chit body, the body where all these impressions and karmas are stored and things we're trying to learn. He said at the moment of enlightenment, all the information in that part of the body, these seeds of karma, these seeds where we're trying to learn new things, they're burned, meaning it's like if you heat up a seed, the information's still there, but it no longer can create a tree or a plant. And at that point, when that happens for a person, that's the moment when real freedom begins, because then you're living life not burdened by, oh, I need to learn that, I need to learn this, I need to figure this out, with some kind of pressure around it. It's more the innocence, I think, and the openness we were speaking about earlier that Liz, you were sharing, as your openness to new experiences. It's like fresh eyes with everything going on. And it's kind of a freedom for the soul, for the person, as I see it. But Tiff, what are your thoughts?
I'd like to say that there are no untimely deaths. And the probability lattices change when we, in the way that I see it, clairvoyantly, and have had the experience of sitting with people. That, as Paul just said, is like, oh, okay, I checked those boxes and maybe I am done a little early. But the probability lattice shifts to the next iteration that takes us into altruism and service. And especially so if we have taken the Bodhisattva vow. And that is, it's a, you know, something that is done usually in prior lifetimes where we take that vow. And I have a whole thing I teach about vows to virtue, so vows to values to virtue, because we don't necessarily want to keep taking vows. We want to make conscious promises while we're here. But the point is, that there's the next iteration of the thing to work on. And there's an opportunity for being a helper to help others in need. So I know plenty of people are like, wow, why am I not dead yet? I got it all done as far as I can see. And isn't it time to drop the body and drop the pain body and drop all of this? And it's like, no, it really isn't done until the other karmic pieces that may have had a chance to now be revealed. So that's my two cents on it from sitting with other masters that I respect.
I had a Native American shaman woman who is a massive presence who I respect immensely. But she once said something to me that I couldn't agree with. And it was this. She said, "You know, Liz, this is about the knowing. You will often answer with, I don't know. But, you know, here's what sits with me now." She said, "You know, you have to know." And I thought, if I knew for sure, if someone came in and gave me the golden ticket and said, "Here's everything there is to know," I'd have to check out. Because for me, it's about asking the questions. And if I run out of questions, I run out of reasons to be. So from my perspective, if there's still questions, there's still more to do. So being in that state of open curiosity about everything leads to more and more and more reason to continue to raise your consciousness. So that would be my perspective.
That's interesting.
I love it.
Interesting. I promised I'd tell a weird story. So, weird story. I'm sleeping aboard. At the time, I had a yacht. I was in Catalina. And it was after the awakening, I don't know, maybe a year later. And in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping and I physically wake up. It's like there's somebody in the room. I wake up, I open my eyes, literally standing right by my bed, as physical as you or me, is the Grim Reaper. And I was like, I look up and I go, "Oh my God, you're here." And he was like, "There he is, just silent and big and black." I said, "Oh, I this is the conversation. Oh, is it time to go?" And it doesn't say anything. He just, And I say, "Well, what are you here for?" He kind of like didn't move. And I said, "Are you just here for an aspect of me?" And I was like, "All right, have at it." And that was it. Anyway, so I've always been curious, you know, because, you know, it was later on that I definitely felt like, Tiff had just said, you know, like, I'm done. I'm ready to go, you know. So anyway, there we go. There's that. I totally appreciate the fun conversation and the perspectives.
Agree. Us too, Bill, always.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious, Bill, the have at it, did the Green Reaper have at it? And were you aware of any of its activities upon you or parts of your being?
Okay. The answer is, no. I mean, I literally was like, I did not care. It was like zero caring. I just literally laid my head back down on the pillow. And I was like, I'm going to sleep. And that was it.
Surrendered.
It was. And that was it. You know, I woke up in the morning, you know, and I was like, wow, that was something, you know, and maybe I should have stayed up or something, you know, but it was like, you know, what am I going to do? And then I was like, man, I should have asked a hell of a lot more questions. But, you know, it asked, you know, right? You get access. How often do you see that dude? You know, that dude don't come around too much. He's like, I got all kinds of questions for him now. But anyway, it was, on retrospect, after the fact, I was like, oh, you know, it's all that old me, you know, the that you know, third dimensional, self-focused, you know, first three chakras guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's something that happens during that weird sleep awake period. And so many of us who've had a lot of transformations have experienced maybe not the Grim Reaper, because you're kind of a weirdo, Bill McKenna.
That was weird.
Other things in that twilight. And I think it's an aspect of our consciousness that makes that available. Because how many of us have had something like that and we're like, why didn't I ask more questions? Why the heck did I just go back to bed? Why didn't I stay up and interrogate or investigate? But that seems to be what happens. You get the information or you have the experience and you go back to bed. And then the next morning you wake up with all the questions. So I think it's some part of your consciousness that's available during that time.
Oh, for sure. The hypnagogic or hypnopompic times are amazing.
Hey, you know, I gotta share with all y'all. You're gonna love this one. Had you ever seen that Gaia episode called Mass Media Entrainment?
No.
No.
Because we have to add that to our list, Paul.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a Regina interview, right?
Okay.
I forget the dude's name.
Okay.
I don't know how many years ago it is, but Mass Media Entrainment.
Okay.
Okay, so Liz, I told you the story, right? I know I told you.
Bill, there's so many stories. You're going to keep track of all of them.
Okay, all right. Well, it's fun. This is a fun one. But it's, so basically, this mass media entrainment interview that you're going to watch, it talks about there's a guy on there. He's a researcher. He produced, you've seen the kids, they walk around with the shoes that have the LED lights in them that light up every time you step.
Yep.
That's his patent. That's how he made this money. So he's really, he's very wealthy. And he basically, that was, he said he made it in like, you know, in something like less than an hour, you know, he made his whole patent, and that's what he's basically got cash coming in forever on it.
Wow. Anyway,
but the point is that this guy was doing research on radio waves. There was a friend of his that was a dolphin trainer for like the Department of Defense type things. And they would send messages to dolphins. Hey, dolphin, you know, go do this. But they were trying to get the messages through and they couldn't get the messages through. So they decided that there's an interruption necessary. Are you guys look frozen? Are you still there?
We're here.
I'm here.
We're here.
Okay. All right. I just did. Anyway, so they put an interruption in between, like, you know, I'll send a message and then I got to give you a second to absorb it. And then I'll kind of like how we talk. There's words and there's a space in between them. Yeah. So this is called a lily wave. Anyway, in the interview, you'll see that they saw this information, like the lily wave on your home electricity.
Whoa.
And what? I'm watching this right. Anyway, I watched that interview and I was like, you know how many interviews you watch and you're like, is it true? Is it not true? You know, maybe there's some truth over here, whatever. Well, the hypnagogic type of in-betweener state, right? This is what I was, it was a couple years after watching that. I'm sleeping in my bedroom right over here and I'm coming out of sleep and all of a sudden I start seeing a fax. Remember, you know, the 1200 baud fax, black and white. Beep, 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 beep. I'm looking in my mind's eye. Beep, 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 beep. Coca-Cola.
Oh.
Johnson Johnson. Beep, 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 beep. I don't have stock in Coca-Cola. I don't care about Johnson Johnson.
You were defragging.
I was seeing the dam like coming down like a text. And then there were different languages. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at an incoming optically that. Anyway, I'm like, what the man? and then so I call up the dude. I find his number, whatever, and I call him up. I mean, I can't get an appointment with the guy for, I don't know, months. And I said, hey, man, I got something to tell you, you know, that's real, you know. And I get on the phone. I said, hey, you know what? This is what happened. I was in that tween state. And intuitively, I knew, don't come out of the state. You're going to lose this because it's a fine frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, bottom line is that I talked to him and he said, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the optical frequency. What they've done is that they know the resonance of the optic nerve and they're tuned to it and they basically send out the blasts. So it is amazing. And he had all the science behind it. And I said, well, who is it? He said, is this a big organization? No, it's one department. It's just one small department and they have this and they, right? They don't need a big department. You know, it's right. Well, it's not facts. But, you know, if you think about it, like the toilet paper, remember the toilet paper situation? Why did everybody go nuts on toilet paper of all things? If the food's not there, you don't need that. You're buying. I was in it with this. I was right when this whole thing started. There was this farmer, and I was there. And he goes, "You know, they're saying to me, a little bit stupid. You know, I don't understand. If you don't need it, you don't need the toilet paper. You're buying. You're buying the wrong thing, son.
Comfort."
Anyway, I just thought I'd. There was a funny. Brain nerve got fired on the hypnagogic state and something I think you might find of interest.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective radio show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.